Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, One Take Wednesday. I can imagine you sitting out on your porch in a swing, or doing your morning exercise routine, or perhaps in your commute to work today. Maybe you're listening in the late afternoon. Wherever you are, my prayer is that the Lord will meet you in that space, will remind you of His power and His favor, and that you might delight in His Word. Our first passage in the New International Version is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. When we read yesterday from Acts chapter 5, Christianity was called the New Life, and today it is mentioned as the Way. I love those two metaphors. New life, that's what we have in Jesus Christ. And He is the way. This is Saul's conversion. And by the way, I can't just stop at verse 12. I'm going to have to read on, I think, until verse 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether women or men, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest anyone who calls on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. As I mentioned before, I read, Christianity is called the Way here. And it's called the Way by Saul. When he asked for letters from the high priest, he says, if he found anyone who belonged to the Way, he might take them as prisoners. But on his way to Damascus, he meets Jesus, whom he was persecuting, and his eyes were blinded. And then the interaction between Ananias and the Lord is just so wonderful. I want to be like Ananias in my initial response. When the Lord calls us, I want us to say, "Yes, Lord." But then when the Lord tells Ananias what to do, he's not so sure. He's like, "Are you sure, Lord? I've heard all these reports about this man." And then he continues and is faithful and obedient, which the Lord calls us to obedience as well. And when he goes into the house, I can imagine how timid he must have felt. Okay, I'm here to put my hands on you. And then Saul regained his sight and was filled with the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful passage. Let's turn on over to Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 20. This is about John the Baptist and the people who were coming to be baptized. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Let me repeat that. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. "And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Quickly, I want to think about the fruit that is in keeping with repentance. John names some of it here. We need to be content. We need to not take advantage of people. We don't need to look at our pedigree for pride. Rather, we look to the Lord in dependence, and we avoid sexual immorality. Other things that God calls us to turn away from: gossip, dishonesty, greed, and things he calls us to: forgiving others and reconciliation, seeking to obey him by giving and helping. All right, let's move on over to the Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 4 today. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland of grace around your head and present you with a glorious crown. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. We are called to get some wisdom today. How do we do it? We block out the distractions of the world, the petty things that don't matter, and we focus our attention on God and on producing fruit in response to the love and forgiveness that God has given us. As we end today, I just want to pray scripture over you. I'm in a group of four ladies, and we are learning different scriptures that we launch our day with. And so I want you to experience some of those scriptures as we pray together. Father, we know that the morning brings us word of your unfailing love, for we have put our trust in you. Show us the way we should go, for to you we lift up our souls. Rescue us from our enemies, O Lord, and hide us in you. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God. May your good spirit lead us on level ground. That's from Psalm 143, 8 through 10. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore we have hope. Because of the Lord's compassion, we are not consumed. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for those new mercies every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We say to ourselves, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. It is so hard to wait, Lord, but we want to do it in a way that is pleasing to you, knowing that we can trust you. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's from Lamentations 3. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way within us, and lead us in the way everlasting. That's from Psalm 139. And then from Psalm 23, I'm just going to read the first phrase and then I'm going to pray for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would have everything that they need spiritually, socially, financially, emotionally, physically. Lord, sustain them, I pray. Give them a sense of your presence today. We love you, Lord, and we know that you go before us, beside us, and behind us, shoring up what we have left undone. And we thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.